This will be a test for you, if you can concentrate even with that big moth flying around. I don't know where it is now, but it was... I'm sure it will reappear at a time when it will distract you from the sacredness of the moment. Anyway, but all creation is signs of God, you know, God's presence. Every creature is a creature of God. Well, today we're continuing our sixth week of Easter, and you might notice, I'm sure you have noticed if you follow the liturgy day by day, certain things keep coming up again. Especially in John's Gospel, he returns to some themes again and again. The commandment of love is one of them. You might have noticed that the end of yesterday's Gospel and the end of today's Gospel are very similar. Yesterday's Gospel ended with this line, I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. And then in today's Gospel, he says, I have told you this so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you. So Jesus is aware that what he tells us is in anticipation of what is still to come. He knows that we won't understand it, maybe not even remember it at the moment, but when it comes, when the fulfillment of his word takes place, then we'll realize and our faith will be deepened. And the power that makes that recall possible is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was mentioned in yesterday's Gospel. The Advocate, I think that was the first mention of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he said yesterday. He will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. And then in today's Gospel, which comes from a later chapter, he says, when the Advocate comes, again, this is the Holy Spirit again, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, before he said the Father will send him, now he says I will send him, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. So these are themes, the idea that Jesus tells us things with an eye toward the future fulfillment, this idea of an advocate who will be sent from the Father and the Son, and that the work of the advocate has to do with bearing witness to the truth. These things will keep coming up for the rest of the Easter season. Advocate is one translation of that Greek word parakletos, which we sometimes say paraclete, the paraclete. It's a little hard to translate it. That's why it's sometimes advocate, sometimes comforter, sometimes guide, sometimes consoler. Paraclete. The Holy Spirit. Here he's described as the Spirit of truth. Jesus, who identified himself as the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. The Spirit is the Spirit of the way, the truth, and the life. And he says that the Spirit will testify to Jesus, the Son, and you also testify. How can we testify? By the power of the Spirit. How can we bear witness to the truth? By the power of the Spirit. Jesus says it's going to happen that your testimony will be opposed, even violently, but don't be surprised. I'm telling you ahead of time so that when it happens, you'll remember that I told you this. This idea of testifying to the truth, of bearing witness, this is at the heart of all missionary work, of the mission of the church, making known the gospel, making known the Father and the Son. It's the Spirit who's the hidden engine or the hidden power behind all missionary work. And today's first reading is another passage from the missionary journey, the second missionary journey of Paul. I remember when I was in the seminary, I went to a missionary seminary, you know. It was run by the Society of the Divine Word, which is a missionary community, and their vision in that school was to form missionaries. I never heard of a missionary seminary before. I didn't know what there was such a thing. I never heard of this course they had, missiology, the study of mission. missiology, or people specialized in missiology. Anyway, one of the, this is something you run into very early when you're studying mission. There are two principles at work. One is God sends. He sends missionaries. That's what missionaries are. They're those who are sent. And that sending is part of the dynamic of God himself. As the Father sent me, I send you. So Jesus is the first missionary. Or you could say the Holy Spirit is the first missionary. God himself is a missionary. He himself sends himself. So that's one of the fundamental principles, that this work is God's work, making known, making himself known. And everybody who is sent in the power of the Holy Spirit. The other principle that comes up often is that wherever you're sent, God was there before you got there. God went ahead of you. He was at work in the place where you're going before you got there. And that's to keep in mind that this is God's work, not your own, and no missionary is at the center of his world. He's simply an instrument of God's world. Well, this comes up in today's reading. Here, Paul and his companions, they are following the Spirit. We heard on Saturday that the Spirit prevented them from going in this direction and kind of pushed them to go in that direction, go to the west, cross over into Europe. Paul had a vision of a Macedonian saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So they said, well, that must be the will of God. So they tried it. And this is where we pick up the story. We set sail from Troas, which is on the eastern side. It's still on the Asian side of the kind of hypothetical border between Asia and Europe, Troas. And then they made a straight run for Samothrace, okay, crossing over whatever that strait is. I can't remember that strait of, you know, the Bosphorus or one of those straits in what's considered Eastern Europe, Western Asia. Anyway, and they went to Macedonia because that's where they were supposed to go. They went to the leading city of Macedonia, which was Philippi, the Roman colony. It's not a Jewish city. Apparently, there's not even a synagogue there. So when they wanted to have a time for prayer, they went outside the city gate along the river where they thought there would be a place of prayer, meaning get out of the hustle and bustle of the city, the pagan world, and take a little time aside for prayer. So they're doing this because they're following the Spirit. They don't know what's going to happen in Macedonia. All they know is that they're sent there. Well, lo and behold, they encounter these women who are already praying, who are already worshipers of God. One of them's name is Lydia. She's a wealthy businesswoman, and she's described as a worshiper of God, which is the Bible's way of describing someone who wasn't a Jew, but who was respectful of God speaking to the Jews. So perhaps she was there with other Jews or other people who were attracted to Judaism. In other words, people who were already moved by God, moved by a longing for God, for knowing God. So this woman was prepared ahead of time. Before Paul and his companions got there, she was already, you could say, ripe for the harvest. And the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul was saying. See, it was God's work, not just Paul, the great missionary. God was working in Lydia's heart before Paul got there. And then when Paul did his little part, proclaiming the gospel, the Lord opened Lydia's heart. She believes, she is baptized, and then she takes this step of almost forcing them to stay in her home. Kind of a strong hospitality. But that's how we know she is a rich woman, because she has a house that can accommodate these missionaries and host them. Well, it's just another example of how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit works through anyone who's willing to be led, whether it's a poor missionary or a rich businesswoman, doesn't make any difference, as long as they're following the Holy Spirit. And the church has a long history of rich businesswomen who support the work of the church. The church is not against using money for the kingdom of God, of course not. the church knows money can be a trap. It's a very dangerous trap, and people can lose their way in their pursuit of money. But it's also true that if people are following the Lord, if they're led by the Holy Spirit, they can put their money to good use for the kingdom. And that's what they're supposed to do. What's money for? It's not for building up the kingdom. So here's Lydia as an example. Okay, so here we are, missionaries. We have received this same paraclete, this spirit of truth. And as long as we are willing to be servants of the truth, speak the truth, even if we're going to be opposed, then God can make use of us in his much greater plan of making himself known to the world. We're following in the footsteps of the great and the small, the St. Paul's and the great missionaries and the humble, unknown instruments of God in the world.